All right, open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go a little further in it. We went through chapter 37, got into chapter 38. I'm going to go back to chapter 38 this morning, maybe drop down about verse 8 when we actually start, because we've been spending our time on the alignment of the nations and who they were. We recognize we're talking about a prophecy that is about to be fulfilled on your TV real soon. If things keep going as they are. Right now, they're saying that Russia is massing 100,000 to 200,000 troops on the Ukrainian border. While all the election attention's going on in America, some big things are happening that the Bible predicted, and one of them is what some folks call World War III. Now, it may not be a good title for it. Others call it the Gog and Magog War, and that's right out of the Bible. And amazing how we see it fitting into place. In time, in this space we call time, it takes time to do things. And we've been seeing this for a long time. Preachers have been preaching on this portion of Ezekiel because it was written 500 years before Christ was born, maybe a little more than that. And yet, remember when it was written, Russia was no big nation. Russia had no army such as they have now. The world was not what it is now. So the writing ahead of time shows you the Bible's a supernatural book. Only God can tell the end from the beginning. And he does that. If there's any one thing that proves the Bible to be different than all other books, it is the fact God tells you stuff ahead of time. When I started preaching pastoring 48 years ago, I have to say that fast, I had been teaching Sunday school and had been a youth leader a few years before that. And things I taught then, things I preached in the early years, even the early years after I came here, they're now history. They're no longer prophecy. They've been fulfilled. History has record them now. You can go back and and look on those things. For instance, the wars with Israel, 1948, that was before I was started preaching, a little bit anyway, and 1967, the Six-Day War, 1973, the Yom Kippur War. Well, all that stuff we preached and then saw it happen. I never forget the morning the Six-Day War took place in 1967, June. The only Christian radio station in the county was, what was it, WTWB over in Auburndale. It was an AM station. I had the manager at that time in my Sunday school class I was teaching in Central Baptist in Winter Haven. And that morning I started to work in my service truck and had the radio on to the Christian radio station. That was a Monday morning. And all of a sudden, Dick Boyce came over the radio. He was the manager. He took it over from the DJ on the boards, ran in, took the microphone because the news had just broke about the war in Israel. He'd been in my Sunday school class the Sunday morning before, and as always, one of my loves of the Bible is prophecy, and we'd been talking a bunch of stuff. And he grabbed the microphones, hollered, said, "Folks, this is it." I pulled the truck off side the road, looking for the Lord right then. Well, he hadn't gotten there yet, but he's closer now than he was then. And a lot of us thought, boy, this is it. This is it. Well, it was a step. It was a step in the prophecy that had to be met, had to be fulfilled. It was a step where the Jews came back in and had the ownership for the first time of the actual Temple Mount. They didn't get that in 48, but they got it in 1967, and that was the big, big prophetical step. Now look how long that's been. That's been history. Since then, a lot of other stuff happened. And so as we're studying right now, how long will it take? I don't know. I know things are moving fast. The world's never been more confused. Even in America, we don't know which ends up anymore. And yet the Bible, and the good part is the Bible's never shaken up. God never looks over the banister of heaven and say, "Oh boy, that surprised me down there." No, sir. Somebody's made a statement that's a good statement. It says this: "Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God. Think about that. Nothing takes him by surprise. And the more we study his book, the more we know that he knows the end from the beginning and knows ahead of time. So as we look at this coalition of nations in Ezekiel 38, the bones that was just being sung about by the college boys, that takes place in chapter 37. That's the rising of Israel, going back to the land, beginning to live, where everybody said, these bones can't live. They'll never be a nation again. But God said they would. And it happened as God said. So now we see that's true. Now we move on from there. Now we see the nations gathering against them to defeat them, push them in the sea, destroy them, annihilate them, commit genocide against them, even as Hitler tried to exterminate the Jewish race. All the nations are going to be in on that big party pretty soon. And God tells what he's going to do in that day. He not only tells this group coming against them, he tells what he's going to do. So pick it up with me in about verse 8. I want to just run through some of the verses. They're just so current. Verse 8, after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come unto the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste. Now think about that statement. You can find writings, books where the land of Israel, as we know it today, and often called Palestine, nobody wanted it. It was just dry. It had no water. It was a desolate place. But that's not what it is today. The Bible has predicted what has happened, predicted ahead of time it would blossom like the Garden of Eden. And it has. It is tremendous to go over now and see what the Lord has done. But they were always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. The Jews were scattered to all the nations. That's what the picture of the dry bones were. And God opened the graves of the nations back in verse 12 of chapter 37 and brought them back to the land. Not all of them, but they're still coming. And there'll be even a bigger group yet to come. But he says to this coalition of nations, to Gog, prince of Magog. We dealt with the root word Rosh, from which we get Russia and so forth. But he said, you'll come in verse 9, you'll send and come like a storm. Well, storm is something we think of up in the air. It says, and like a cloud to cover the land. We think of a cloud being up in the air. Well, back when this was written, if he'd said airplanes and missiles, nobody would have known what he was talking about. But they're going to come, as it were, from the sky. They're going to have their armaments in the clouds, so to speak. And they're going to come like a cloud to cover the land of Israel. And it says that our evil thoughts, says at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. What's the thought? Well, it tells us here. Thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. Now in the day when Ezekiel wrote this, the villages were walled. You can still go to the city of Jerusalem and see the old walls, small part of Jerusalem now. Just to see the old city, and you'd see cities that are walled, or the walls falling down. That was their protection. That's not what they're protected by today. Now, Mr. Trump wants to build a wall across Mexico border there. We need to build some in a lot of places, but it's a different kind of walls today than what they had back then. And our walls today is basically our military technology, our military armor. Get the stroke to clear in a minute, maybe. And this is a day, though, where Jerusalem is unwalled, like the scripture says here. And he says this Gog, this prince of Magog, this army of nations here will have an evil thought. They'll go to the unwalled villages. And he said down in verse 11, I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates. Now, it sounds like at this point that Israel is resting somewhat secure when this attack comes. Most likely, they have been deceived with peace talks. That's going on all the time. There are, in fact, just recently, a few days ago, they had the big representatives of the nations go to Paris, France. They invited the nations in. You know what the discussion was? It was how we can deal with Israel, how we can give a peace plan that they'll accept and so forth. All that. By the way, they did not invite Israel to the meeting. That's right. Israel was not in the meeting. We're talking about something very current here. Just happened. And so the nations have got plans. They're going to force one day this, and you hear it in the news. It's called a two-state solution. It's no solution. It's a deceptive plan to take the land away and totally annihilate Israel. That's what the plan is. Now, Israel's like anybody else. They got sinners and saints. They got saved and lost. And a Jew has to be saved the same way a Gentile does, through the only way, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, God has a special calling for Israel, a plan that he intends to fulfill with that nation. So when the other nations try to mess up God's plan, they have to deal with God. Right. And they are going to be having to deal with him very, very, very soon here when they touch the apple of his eye, what the Bible calls Israel. And God said in the word, Zechariah and others said that God would make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all of them that bothered with it. And of course, that's what's happening right now with the nations. Now this group's coming. So I'm down to about verse 12 here of chapter 38. They're coming. Here's why: to take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. See how current that is? They were desolate. You could go through some of that desert and wonder if a jackrabbit could live. But you won't wonder that anymore. Today you'll see the trees, you'll see the vegetables, you'll see the fruit. You'll see all of that just like the Bible predicted. And so he says they're going to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the, what? Out of the nations. The Jews were scattered to all the nations, but God is gathering them back. Which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. So he's describing the latter days when it'll be no longer desolate, when it will be inhabited, when it will be unwalled, and when it will look like that it's worth stealing. It's worth the spoil. It's worth the prey. And that's exactly what is in the mind of these nations. Now, it gives a couple of names here, and preachers have guessed at these names in verse 13 quite a while. Everybody's looking for the USA. Where's America in the Bible? Well, it is in the Bible. Every time God says all nations, we fit right in there in that word all, and certainly in our day and time. But you got two words here, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish. Now, it's been surmised that Sheba and Dedan was America and Canada, and because we'll get to that maybe in a minute on the Young Lions statement here. It says, with all the young lions. Don't say they are the young lions, but it says, with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Now, truthfully, Sheba and Dedan is Arabic nations. You can look on the map, you can see it in the news. There's a little place right there on the Persian Gulf called Dedan, and you can see it. It appears that these two little Arab countries right here may not be part of the big coalition. Russia has a lot of Muslim countries in it. It's the Soviet Union. It's a union of socialistic nations, supposedly. And now you've heard me say some stuff about it recently. Even Russia recently has passed an anti-religious bill that Mr. Putin signed. He did that because of the recruitment of ISIS and the terrorists among his countrymen. But in so doing, he threw the baby out with the bathwater. He also has made it really rough now on the churches. Christianity now under attack. both in Russia and in China. Brother Ozzie Waters, brother, we talked to you about that ministry he had over there, being hurt so bad by it, and I hope you're praying for him. But no, I don't think Sheba and D-Dan is America and Canada. I think, you, like I say, you can see D-Dan right over there today. Now, when it says, with all the young lions thereof, it's referring back to the merchants of Tarshish here. Now, most folks believe that word, and you can pretty much trace it into it, is England. And then what would the young lions of coming out of England be? Well, it would be Canada and America. What is a symbol of England? It's a lion. Just like we're symboled, our symbol is the American Eagle. London, go back many years ago, hundreds of years ago, and you find the symbolic lion for London. So it could be true then that America, Canada could be called young lions coming out of England. So see if that be the case. And I got an earphone. I cannot prove that. We can prove, as we did the other day, going back in Genesis 10 to the table of the nations, we can prove pretty much all the rest of them. We can prove Russia. We can prove Iran, which is called Persia, and the name was changed to Iran. Iran covered the territory of Iraq as well as Iran today. All of that is provable from the table of nations and the tribes back in Genesis 10. Some of this right now we can't prove. It seems pretty reasonable, though. The young lions might be, could be, America and Canada. Now, what happens here? It says, the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, and so on? Now, I'd say one thing about verse 13. It would fit America. We are, if we can talk a country to death, we will. And here they are raising the question. Talk. What are you doing? It's almost like it can be right in front of our eyes and we can't admit it. We can't admit that it's Islamic terrorists that are our enemy today. We just don't want to admit what it is. And how plain it is, and still we won't call it. We just won't call it by name. And so it could be right here what's involved here. Now, there is all kind of modern knowledge and stuff coming around today that can throw some light on some of this stuff. This is going to be, and this is why folks want to call it Third World War, this is going to be a nuclear thing. And we have, I hope you know this, we have a credibility gap, even in America, but in the news of the world. The news covers stuff, but it's the tip of the iceberg, and often it's perverted. And they are secret weapons and various things. A lot of folks are concerned over the electronic magnetic pulse thing that is being talked about in the news. And what it boils down to is like a satellite in orbit that can shoot down on you. Now, I'm jumping ahead of myself some here. But you find that as we go through this, God says that this army is going to move on horseback. Now, a lot of times we forget horses are still used in modern warfare. They still are. And some places a horse can go that a tank cannot go. And so it is still viable. But it could also be this. If this electronic pulse thing can do what they say it can, America's afraid of it, Russia's afraid of it, but America would be hurt the worse if such a thing was to be able to be exploded in space and knock out all the electronics. Now we have, you know, if your TV blinks, we're upset. How upset's this generation gonna be that lives by the cell phone? Lives by the GPS. They won't know how to get home without the GPS. And when they get home, there won't be no TV. There won't be no electricity. it's not going to be a pleasant time because we've been spoiled. Just been spoiled. That's all there is to it. If it's too cold, we go to the thermostat. If it's too hot, we go to the thermostat. When I was a kid in this town, when it was too hot, you opened the windows or you went to the lake and jumped in. When it was too cold, you done a lot of things. And yes, it used to be sometime too cold in Florida. It can happen. But I remember a Christmas day, boy, when we had an old heater in the house and we had wood in it. It was a cold day that particular Christmas. And we had that heater going and it turned red hot. Red hot. You could see the thing turn red hot. And I was so involved in unwrapping a gift, I backed into it. The trouble was I had not gotten fully dressed. So I'll let you use your imagination. But if it hadn't been Christmas Day, it'd have been a miserable day. It'd like to stole Christmas from me. But we don't do that no more. Folks, you'd be surprised how many kids have never seen a fireplace or built a fire. You'd be surprised how many folks in the kitchen don't know you'd boil coffee without a coffee pot and a percolator and electric thing to plug it in. I mean, you talk about if all the electronics was knocked out, there's going to be a lot of folks in a heap of trouble for a long, long time. But that is one of the weapons that is feared by all the nations. China has proven to us not long ago, and they did it on purpose, they had one of their own satellites. Now, we're talking about in space, way up there. And apparently it had quit functioning. So China shot a missile from the ground and took out their own satellite just to demonstrate to America we can do it. We can do it. They did that not so many years ago, a couple of years ago. And so what we're seeing here in Ezekiel, this warfare, this big thing that's going to happen, it's very easily could be happening. Nobody has to invent anything else to make it happen. Let me put it that way. So let's look on down in verse 14. Therefore, son of man, that's Ezekiel, prophesy and say unto God, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? Now he's talking to the leadership right now. If it was going to happen currently, then the leadership he'd be talking to here would be Mr. Putin over in Russia, Vladimir Putin. He is the leader right now, and that would be him. Now, I like this statement here, shall thou not know it? Don't kid yourself. I suspect that Mr. Putin knows all that was on the emails of Hillary's stuff, don't you? And he's not the only one. I mean, you talk about spy networks, you talk about what's going on in the world today, it's something if we knew the whole truth about it. And this statement, shall thou not know it? Right at the minute, America is probably in the most vulnerable, weak condition that we have been in. You talk to some of our military men and they'll let you know it is scary. Did you see in the news this week how many of our airplanes are not even ready to fly? I'm talking about our fighter planes, our bombers and our jets, fighters. Just because of lack of maintenance, lack of care, lack of leadership. Brother, if there's any one thing America ought to keep on the front burner, it's the military. And it's, I guess it was President Reagan said, we need to always negotiate from a position of strength. Right. And not weakness, but strength. And we're not there now. And don't think that the enemy don't know that. They certainly do. They know the inside story. And that's what it says, shall thou not know it? Verse 15, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. Now, if there's anything that would make you doubt that we're talking about nations that we've named, Russia, Iran, all of that, that's where they're located, Turkey, north of Jerusalem. Anytime you're reading the scripture and you go north, south, east, or west, most of the time in the Bible, that is always in the relationship to Jerusalem. That's God's center that he measures from. I want to open the can of worms up, but many Jewish sages, rabbis, and deep scholars believe that that rock that was the under Solomon's temple, the very rock that Abraham was to offer Isaac on, that rock is the center of the earth. That rock area is where Jacob, his first night away from home, when he and Esau were in trouble, and he went away that night, and his mother advised him to run, and he did. He spent his first night away from home. He pillowed his head on a rock. That rock later became the Rock of Zion, or the rock that was under the Holy of Holies of the temple. See, many of them believe that's the very center of the earth. So when you take a measurement, and the great scientist Isaac Newton did some calculations, and I can't open all that up, but he did some calculations concerning the world geographically, and pretty well proved, at least to many people, that it was the geographical center of the world as far as God was concerned. So anyway, I get off of that except to say north. North is where these nations are located, north of Jerusalem. Draw a line on your map from Jerusalem straight north. You'll go right pretty much through the city of Moscow in Russia if you draw it far enough. So anyway, coming out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company, and a mighty army. Now, if they're not riding literal horses, and I think there will be a big part of that, will be literal horses. But God rode horses here, even if it's tanks and trucks, missile carriers. Do you know, you lift the hood on an army tank or a truck, one of the questions you'll find out if you study the stats on it, you'll find out how much horsepower it has. Isn't it amazing how we measure horsepower still today? And most of our little cars hadn't got much of it anymore, but I remember the day when you could spin the wheels, amen. It had horsepower. So riding horses, literal horses maybe, or riding a tank with 700 or 800 horsepower maybe, I don't know. I'm just saying it'll all fit. God hadn't written a lie here. It'll all be just exactly like he said. And it says in verse 16, and thou shalt come up against my people. So we got the target now, no doubt about who the target is. God calls them my people of Israel. As a cloud to cover the land, it shall be in the when. All right, we got the target, Israel. We got the when. Here's what it says, in the latter days. In the latter days. Now, don't you think God might have known the latter days from the former days? Of course. And he said, the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen, what you going to do this for, Lord? He said, I got to teach the heathen a lesson. Here it is. That the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified or set apart in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Now, he's talking to this leader here. He said, I'm going to bring you against my people. And the heathen are going to know when I wipe you out who done it. Now, you know, a lot of times today we give credit to everybody but God. Right. I think about the fellow was working on the steep roof and he started sliding down. And somebody on the ground heard him hollering out, save me, Lord, save me, Lord. And about that time he stopped sliding and he looked up and said, it's okay, Lord, a nail's got me now. We better give God the credit for being the nail, amen? He does a lot of saving and a lot of blessing, and we don't give him credit for it. Right. And that's so easy to happen. But here we find that God says, I'm going to let you come up against my people Israel, and the heathen are going to know me. Now, it is amazing today. You see it in the news, you read it, you hear people. They just give credit to everything but God. Just can't see God's hand in nothing. And yet I find out this, and I found it out through my ministry and through my life, Some of the very people that don't want to recognize God, they will recognize him when they hurt bad enough. Amen. I have seen a pile of them, brother, that said, hey, I didn't believe in God until, but when the doctor shook his head and the baby's about to die, they'll call on God. Somebody said there's no atheist in a foxhole, and I agree with that. There's no atheist, period, anyway, because in his heart he knows there's a God. Right. But the truth of the matter is that this scene that we're studying here is getting so close, it's so current. It's going to happen sooner than a lot of folks think. And you and I have a hope. It's called the blessed hope. That blessed hope is that Jesus is coming for his people first. Now, we don't know that. This war could take place first. It could. We can't prove it one way or the other. But we can sure see it nearing. Yeah. And it'll be all right with me if the Lord came first. I'd appreciate it. I think you would, too.